Hi guys, thank you for joining Extending the Olive Branch. I'm so excited to be putting out a new episode. I took a little break just to see what was needed to make this a successful podcast and to make sure that it was something that people needed. And so here we are, and it's Women's History Month, and we just celebrated International Women's Day. If you heard that whoop whoop, that's my beautiful friend, Lenora. She has joined us today to talk about being a woman. And so we will go ahead and get started with this episode. And so Lenora is a dear friend of mine. She's amazing. Like, she's very, very intelligent and wise. And I go to her whenever I have issues and I need to see things in a different way, because she has that power to make you think differently about things, because she sees things differently. So thank you, Lenora, for joining us. And how about you tell our listeners a little bit about you? Let them know what your aspirations in life are and your ultimate goal. Like, what's your ultimate goal and your aspirations?
Well, first, I want to say thank you for having me. I appreciate you for coming. Appreciate the space in this podcast. I am an educator and an artist, and I believe those are the two main, well, one, two of the three main things that we all are: educators, artists, and I'm also a student.
Okay.
So all my time is spent teaching, learning, or creating. I'm a teacher. I teach 12th grade math here in Philadelphia. I also help also organize Orison Sisters Circle here in Philadelphia, which is a safe space for women dedicated to using art and connection as tools of healing. And then also, I'm a spoken word artist. I've been doing it for a while. And a poet, writer, whatever. I just like to write and create stuff that ultimately leads to healing, to ascension, to wholeness. But I'm sure that all of us who create, in whatever way we create, whether it be a painting or a business, we all create, hopefully, for the intention of healing ourselves or others. And I think that's my main aspiration in life, is to really just be well and increase the wellness. And I know I cannot be well unless my people are well, so increase the wellness of my people.
Awesome. So you would say that that's your ultimate goal as well?
Well, my ultimate goal is to be well. That's the only goal I think any living being in this earth, on this universe, goal is to be balanced, to be healthy, to be, and that is where our joy is. That's where that's anything we do is for our wellness, whether it's eating a cupcake, going out dancing, starting a business, going to a doctor. Everything is all about our wellness, our happiness, our joy. So that's all all my aspiration is that.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I love that. So we talked about it being Women's History Month, and we just celebrated International Women's Day. And so I want to kind of cater this around that and just talk to you about, or maybe you can discuss maybe the challenges you face and you being an educator and an artist. How has that been for you and things like that? So I guess, like, when you think of sisterhood, what does that mean to you?
You know, when you asked that question, I just started looking at this picture of all of us. And you remember that day we was all in a hot mess? We all took pictures and said, remember that picture of all of us? But that was one of my,
No, I was going to say, like, we, just to give backstory, Lenore and I, we went to the University of Minnesota together, and we hung out a lot. She was actually one of the first people, that I met on campus. She was like, hey, come hang out with me. I'm like, okay, girl. And we just, our bond just grew, and we, we're still friends to that. What is it, 10, 11 years? How many years has it been?
Rashana's one of my best friends. I don't understand why she doesn't claim that as me.
I love her. I love her so much. That's not their friend.
Since we were 18, so.
It's been a while. And, and so we always would just, we wouldn't care. Like, we'd be running the streets or, like, so focused on, like, our own goals and things that we just walk outside and, you know, like.
I think even more so what I love about our friendship group, and not just us as a girlfriend, but all of our friends, you know, like, we were super joyful. We were super, not everybody I can think of in college, and super kind and then super nurturing to each other. And we allowed each other to be ourselves, you know? And I think that's the first thing about sisterhood and about brotherhood and community in general. It's about I accept you as who you are, who you come as. And I look forward to investing into your units, you know?
I love it. So that's what you think that sisterhood means to you?
I think that's what communityhood means. But when it comes to what is the gender of a sister, female to female, you know, love, I think there's just something a sister can, will understand about you that nobody else would. When you or I or you and your own, blood sister, me and my blood sisters, when we are connecting, it's just like, oh girl, I bleed for 10 days of every month too. You know what I'm saying? I go through my emotional up and down too. And I think in our shared experience as women, we can help each other, see each other, say I've been there too, empathize with each other, and then show each other ways out, like me and you often do, you know, of whatever that is.
Yeah, I like what you said about being able to understand each other. And one thing I appreciate about you and just our group of friends is that we know each other's heart. And we're able to navigate that way. Like, we can have an issue and you can call me and we'll say, and you'll tell me your issue and I'll look at you in a way of your heart. And then I'll look at it as another situation. So, I'm able to see you for exactly who you are and why you did the things and maybe why you may feel a certain way about things and to best, help you or not help you, but best show up for you in just knowing your heart. So I really do appreciate that. And so we talk a lot about like women and support and things like that. How do you show up to support others who are healing, seeing that you do have the orange circle that you do? How do you show up for your community, specifically the women in your community, to help them heal?
It's called Orisun Sister. Orisun is a Yoruba word that means source. And one thing one of my elders told me is the best way to heal somebody, first thing you have to do is see their wholeness, see the source. So I call it Orisun because we all come from everything comes from the same source, the creator. You understand? We have so many names, but all, I like to call it source because it's some kind of, it's our birthplace and we all are made up of that source energy. And so you have to see the source in somebody, right? You gotta see the wholeness of somebody. And then you can see, oh, here's how I can heal you. I wish I had a perfect quote. Everybody knows Octavia Butler, who wrote, what's her most famous book then? Remind me, because I'm thinking about the Wild Seed. But Octavia Butler, she also wrote the Parable Tales, even though I haven't read that yet. And also, what's the book that everybody read? Anywho, she has a book called The Wild Seed, in which the main character is a healer. And she has to...
Is who?
A healer.
Mm-hmm.
And in that book, the healer has to get herself sick in order for her to know how to heal from that illness and therefore know how to heal whoever else comes to her with the illness. Likewise, Gandhi, there's a parable about Gandhi. This woman comes to Gandhi and says, Gandhi, my kid can't stop eating candy. How can I make him stop eating candy? He said, come back to me in 2 weeks. They came back in 2 weeks. He tells the little boy, stop eating candy. The little boy stops eating candy. The woman's like, how come we couldn't do that 2 weeks ago? And Gandhi's like, I had to stop eating candy first. I had to do it first. I had to stop I had to heal myself first. Mm. And that's the thing about healing. It's really like one touching in the fact that we're all coming from the same source. We're all made of the same stuff. my ancestors said that whatever is human, I'm human, therefore nothing human can be foreign to me. I think I'm saying that wrong. But basically she was saying anything one human can do, I can do. So that is good. And so when I see the source in you, I'm saying I am you. I see your wholeness. And in that, try to keep reflecting that wholeness, and that's it. Whether that reflection be in giving them a tea or some NyQuil, whether that reflection be just being happy so they can see what happiness looks like, whether that reflection be empathizing with them, whatever, and tuning into what they need. And sometimes that reflection requires you to ask questions. So with my students, especially like my Black girl students, where I find myself, of course, as a Black woman, like, come on, sisters. And I said, I mean, I teach nothing but Black women, girls, students, so it's fine. And then, when my sister circles, I think, and with my friendship groups, I think the main goal I try to do, is to keep focused on their God in them, not mistakes. I have the God in me, but I also have the God in you. To keep bowing down to the God in them, and then in that, hopefully they'll see, oh, she's reflecting God, and they can find their own way back to their wellness, their wholeness.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I'm trying to think of the book. Are you speaking of Kindred?
Kindred, or, yep. Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
Kindred is her most famous book. It was like Wild Seed is really good. That whole trilogy.
Yeah, and she's amazing. If you want to dig into some work that's written by Black women, if you have not
heard Black Sci-Fi.
Sci-Fi, man. Like, I'm a super nerd and I love sci-fi. And so, like, she's amazing for that. Read Kindred if you want to put your big toe in there and see what she's about. So you talked about how you have to heal yourself before you can heal others. What experience shifted you to say, like, oh, I need to start healing myself, or I need to think about others, or like, what experience did you have that made you come to the point of where you are now as a healer?
I think every experience with self-awareness leads you to that. There's no one experience that led me to say, oh, I need to heal it. But I think the main thing that made me very, very conscious of my need to heal myself was when I had my first love and I broke up. So in college, you know, when I broke, you go through your first, like, real relationship, you break up. It hurt like shit. But then also,
punch you in your neck.
You dig? But the thing is also, like most really intimate romantic relationships, they make you really see your ugly, you know. I had, and through him seeing his beauty and also seeing, you know, us relating to each other made me see places where I need to grow at, you know. And out of that relationship, I realized I had a really big problem with not trusting people and not being really, I had a lot of insecurities. I didn't even know where, I didn't know to name as insecurities. And so when we broke up, I really went into like trying to figure this stuff out for myself. And I did a lot of research, and I realized how food affects your mood. So I stopped eating so many carbs, and I started taking my health a little bit more seriously, like what I ate a little bit more seriously. Because I was always good at working, you know, I'm saying, thinking a little bit in shape, but I wasn't good at eating. And then when I got here to Philly, the second thing I got was a real big awakening was my first year of teaching, and I was introduced to the word anxiety. And my anxiety was so bad, like I could not go to sleep. Because, you know, I'm thinking about all my students, what I need to do, how can I get so-and-so to sit down and then teach about, you know, one-step equations and shit. And in position of a teacher, you have to be about the kids. You can't be about yourself. And so when I'm about the kids, I was realizing how there were so many things in myself that were stopping me from being about the kids that I wanted to fix in order so I can be a good teacher. So that's when I started getting into working out and health really, really seriously. That's when I got more seriously ready. That's when I got into meditation and then even more so my relationship with God, prayer. Like, and then more and more I got into, I started studying more and more and more. And for myself, to learn how to heal myself. And then more I got into it, I'm like, yo, my, like, I see my students, and realizing that most of my students eat, like, you know, eat junk all day, that most mm-hmm. of them don't have a learning disability or learning problems. They just aren't healthy. They're just not healthy. And I'm like, who controls their health? Now, I was talking to one of my mothers who had lost a lot of weight within the year, and she was like, yeah, mm-hmm. I stopped eating sugar, and I lost all this weight. I was like, how's your... And I know that she was happier, she was more focused, but the thing I know is most is that her daughters improved in school
mm-hmm.
as she got mm-hmm. more healthy. And that had me thinking a lot about starting what is the sister circle. Like, I need to connect with, because the mother, when a mother healed herself, not only is her womb where the kids come from healed, but also her whole household is healed. And so, really God, for women's health a lot more because of realizing how important it is for mothers to be healthy, for the children to be mm-hmm. healthy, for the men that these children become be healthy. And then the men will all have no choice but to be healthy in order to operate with us, you know?
Right. Oh, that's beautiful. You talked about the mothers. Have you tried anything in your life, maybe like to connect with your mom and things like that? Like for me, I know for my mother, like I love my mom to death. Like she's mm-hmm. like the most beautiful like person I have run across. Mm-hmm. And I noticed as I get older, like we're able to connect more and we're able to heal more together. And she's mm-hmm. able to give me her experiences and her insight on life, and I'm able to use it now because I'm like, oh, it's just life. These things that we're going through is just life, and my mother has experienced, and my grandmother has experienced, and her grandmother may have experienced the same thing. It may have looked different, but it's the same thing. What have you done for, or what type of relationship do you have or things like that as you get older? What have you noticed? Have you noticed a shift in that or?
I always thought my mother was a really beautiful person. I realized how much my life was like the life she had or the kind of person I am in the community. It's the kind of person she, I feel like she was when she was in the community. That's one thing I love about her. But me and my mother had a very, I think, more one mindset than her side. It was like a stressed relationship for me. I was really mad at her for a long time because of what happened with her and my dad and the Lord and my perspective of that, of her relationship with my father. Mm-hmm. after they divorced. And as my perspective matured, as I learned to forgive her and not only more so learn to understand her and her mindset, the more I understood myself as a woman, the more actually I was empowered as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the more and more I learned more about who she was before she was a wife or a mother, the more and more I learned about mm-hmm. who she is becoming and her newfound freedom as, you know, all her kids are grown and, you know, she's single, you know. So
mm-hmm.
just learning more about her, who she is as an individual, not as mom. Maybe mm-hmm. understand, love her, like, myself even, like, even more. Because now I'm like, oh, my God, I could do it, too. And I just feel like I'm blooming as she blooms.
It goes back to that womb, like once.
Yep, exactly. I'm a fit in her womb. It goes back to the source. So it goes back to the source. The more you realize you are the source, the more you realize you are God, whether God be your mother, because the only thing for most people, the only thing under God is your mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah.
Or the next thing under God is your mom. And so, like, the more I become, as more she becomes herself, her fullest self that is God, the more. Her fruit is too.
Oh, I love that so much. Y'all see why I love this girl? Do y'all see? Like, so you spoke a little bit about like divorce and things like that. And I just started thinking about Beyonce and like her shift when her mother went through her divorce and, you know, like the lines she said.
Yeah.
The sky, she's like, I try to drink it away. I try mm-hmm. to put one in the air. And it's like, we do things, like, we try to adjust ourselves, like, even like Beyonce, she was in her denial poem. She said, I tried to change, close my mouth more, tried to be softer, prettier, and less awake. I think
she didn't write that poem. This was put out, it was more Sunshire than Beyonce.
Yeah, so, I'm sorry. That's her. Beyonce put it out there, but the beautiful words.
More softer out there. Beyonce loved it.
Friends check you, and I love it.
I'm sorry.
But, so the denial poem, which everyone has been introduced by Beyonce, but was put out by that poet. That's what she wrote. And I just wanted to know, how did you try to address yourself when you went through maybe pain or trauma, things like that? I know you pulled a Lauryn Hill with your short haircut, but what other things have you done, and why did you cut your hair? And
the first time I cut my hair, because I was sick of lying. I saw you do it, and that inspired me. For one, mm-hmm. saw my sisters do it. That's the first thing that happened before I cut my hair ever. You know, mm-hmm. and that allowed me, like, it was like a thing, your natural self is okay. Why? Because my natural self is okay. And I can do it, you know. And so then I was like, yo, man, as soon as you cut your hair, it was actually when you cut it. Because Taylor cut it, and then somebody else said, I knew Taylor cut it. As soon as you cut it, I was like, yeah, this is going to be done. And I just knew when I came to Philadelphia, I would be cutting my hair. But I realized that when I needed to cut it, when I went out, I had a really cute, like, braid. But, and this is what I think all my healing has been. There has been an acceptance, and almost a radical acceptance of self, you know, and that's where mm-hmm. my first step to healing is. Like, no, I'm good at who I am. And so I'm stepping into the wholeness in which I already am, not focusing on what I think I'm not. What did mm-hmm. J. Cole say? Focus on what you pack and not your next pack. Good one. So that first time I was at the club and I had a braid, and I was looking around. I was upset because all these girls around me had weaves on. All these beautiful brown people were there just looking just plastic. I was like, I fucking hate this plastic ass life. And I'm like, I was angry because I was thinking about all these white girls I was around earlier, and they get to wear their natural hair and be celebrated for it. All the Hispanic girls can wear their natural hair and be celebrated for it. Why can't I get my natural hair and be celebrated for it? Whose fault is this? Mm-hmm. Who, and like, why am I sitting here lying to this world with my weed in? I was just like, going through it. And so now, next step, cut my hair off.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in my job, up my hair, they're like, oh my God, man, what happened? That's what happened next time. Right? So, flash forward 4 years of being natural, 5 years. I think that next time I cut it, goes for just needing to sit and accept myself. Like, I had went through relationship, where I was trying to do what I was doing a lot. I realized that a lot in my life, in my romantic relationships, I was bending myself trying to fit this image of what the man wanted, right? And I was in relationships with three men who were great, dynamic, but really large personality men. So I had to switch myself all this. And then I found myself not liking things about myself that I always loved about myself, my skin, my body, and I started hating myself because the last guy wasn't attracted to that kind of woman. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. No, what are you doing? Because that day I had also going to get a trim, and I just told the hairdresser, I'm like, yo, cut it off, please. She's like, are you serious? Mm-hmm. Are you sure? I was like, yeah. Because I was just like, I needed to see myself in my rawness and accept myself there. And I know I need to do something that will shock myself out of this fucked up mindset I had adapted trying to fit in this relationship. And so I cut my hair off, and that day I had cried about it. Next day I cried about it. That guy trimmed up. I was just letting it
happen. Oh, I know when I cut my hair, because I cut my hair again.
Mm-hmm.
And I cried. And like, your fro is so beautiful, so big, so bold. And I know, like, for you to cut your hair, like,
it was so good that day, too. It was like my moisturizing protein at some point.
Flourishing cocoa butter.
Right.
Flourishing. Yeah. So what other things have you done to, that you're like, I need to do this for myself. I need to adjust. I know, you traveled a little bit by yourself. Can you talk about that maybe?
I was just going to. Well, the first time I went out the country by myself, I went to Belize all by myself, right? And I was, I had to sit with myself. I barely had no phone unless I had Wi-Fi, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I was just wanting to be, I was out there and it kept telling me, I want to be better. I want to be better. I want to do all this. I want to be better. And then I had to figure out how I need to be better. How can I? And at that whole week, I was going to be in communion with my great grandfather. My great grandfather had really connected with Belize and that place I was in Belize. So I felt his spirit heavy everywhere I went because I knew that where I was at, like literally where I was at was the neighborhood he was at. So I was stolen from him. And I knew he had fasted a lot. So he fasted before he was a preacher, a bishop. So he fasted and prayed a lot. Anyway, so he fasted for 42 days, or 40 days. I said I was going to have all fast for 42 days, but I would just be mostly raw and a food vegetarian meal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did for 42 days. I was just straight vegetarian. I was mostly raw vegetarian, so I was eating mostly raw foods. And, like, my mental shift, my focus, my clarity, my energy level, maybe decided to really take being vegetarian. So that's the one of the things. I ain't gonna lie, sometimes I eat fish, so I would say I'm like 95% vegetarian.
And I smelled some bacon the other day, so I've been pescatarian, 60 days now, and I smelled some bacon.
Yeah, but it's the thing.
I was about to go through it.
I have no ache for bacon, chicken. I barely even have it for fish. Like, if I eat fish, I might eat like a couple of shrimp or like maybe like a little snipper on a piece of bacon, but I really don't eat that. Definitely not chicken and stuff no more. But like, the thing is though, in that, that connects me back to the first point, step to my mindfulness, which was when I broke up with my first love and I stopped eating certain foods because I learned how that affects your brain. So I came back to like, okay, holistic healing. So then, before that, when I had, was going to my anxiety, I realized I had like ADHD, ADHD. I couldn't focus as easy because my mind be everywhere. So I said I didn't want to take no ADHD pills or nothing like that or anxiety pills. So I started taking up meditation to help me focus. I started listening to a lot more meditative music, so like straight up meditation music only, or like jazz or lo-fi hip hop instrumentals, like stuff that can make me learn how to focus my brain more. I started also practicing a couple years ago. I started practicing yoga. Because I realized it really is just like, okay, what is something about me I want to fix? Or my posture can be better. Also, my mind-body connection could be better. So I started taking yoga, and then about 2 years ago, I started taking martial arts. Also helped me with my mind-body connection. What was the original question? What have I done to heal myself?
Yeah, what have you done? So you cut your hair, you travel. So yeah, I think this is good because it's about like realizing yourself, you know? Like,
yeah, realizing
or go ahead.
I was just going to say, what's one thing and then I'm sorry. Dr. Layla Africa, if you have not heard about this person, you should look him up. Dr. Layla Africa, it was the Queen of Fools. Queen of Fools too, who's also a master healer who has taught me a lot through her books and her videos. Health means balance. It means balance. It means balance. Health equals balance. The only thing we're trying to get to in this life, every being in the universe is trying to get to balance. The universe itself, through its process, is trying to get to balance. So you have to ask yourself, or I had to ask myself, in which way am I unbalanced? And what do I need to do to balance myself? So if I'm unbalanced in my feminine energy, perhaps I need to start expressing some of the energy more, being more creative, going out dancing, wearing cuter lipstick, blah, 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 right? If I'm off balance in my masculine energy, maybe I need to start practicing my masculine energy more, taking more runs, being more competitive. Like, do things that you know, and then research, like, ask the elders, talk to friends, read the book, look at the blog, Google wisely and heal yourself. There's no reason nobody needs to be hurting for nothing. We got you all.
So you brought up ask your friends, ask your elders, and those.
But mostly ask yourself. Ask yourself first. Like, what ways do I need to be healed? Touch yourself. Listen to your body. What ways can I get rid of my pot belly? Oh, I need to drink more water. All right. Go to sleep earlier. Cool. All right. And look and trust that intuition, that inner knowing is God. You know, because you are God, because we all come from the same source and we are already whole. We all go for that.
So Lenora, she's a math teacher, and you know this balance thing. Like I think that's close to her. But I did want to get back on the friends because it is like Women's History Month, and we have seen a lot of women in pop culture and maybe in like personal friends who like come together to heal. What ways have you leaned on your friends or the elders or your mother to heal and what was the best thing or best way that they helped you to heal?
I think
to realize yourself.
I mean, I think what you all do, BGC, y'all click. Y'all really just say, no, you're okay with who you are. You're good. Shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind that even stuff. I think we do that for each other, you know. And then number two, so affirming each other. And I go to my people for affirmation. I also, I know that, like, my mother has experiences that can teach me. I know my elders have experiences. I also know my girlfriends, my sisters. And even though some of the students I teach have experience that can teach me, have this perspective that can teach me, I just let myself ask questions. I mean, I think everybody's a master teacher, and I respect.
Right. And you are. Like,
everybody has God in them. Exactly. Yesterday, I ran into this random man at the bar. I wasn't even trying to talk to him. But after a while, I'm so grateful I talked to him because he did all that. He gave me affirmation, gave me wisdom, gave me experience. It was a good connection.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that so much. Thank you, Lenora. So you guys heard that Lenora, she does spoken word. She's pretty legit, pretty fly. You can see her in Philly performing all the time. I'm kind of jealous because I'm not there when things are happening and greatness is in the room because she's in there. So I wanted to know, can you like do a little something for us?
Sure. I was trying to figure out what to perform all the time, but I'm going to just do this one because I think this encompasses a lot of things that we talked about. But shit. All I write about nowadays is healing and being a woman. So I feel like all my poems hit on it in some kind of way. But this poem I like because it's about black women. And everybody talk about source. Black women is right under God when it comes to where humanity comes from, according to anthropologists. So this poem is for humanity first.
Thank you. I love it.
It's called Black Women Speak. Sister, don't you know you have a cumbersome tongue? You can conjure up magic. Just say come, rain, come, and soon comes your harvest. Burst from your full lips, burst from your tongue, and your tongue says hallelujah. Says him azula, says ashe, amen, oshun, ogun, Yemaya says you, and you are a powerful bow. You can spit magical molecules that can dust night skies and make sun rise like good daughters do. You are synchronized to the moon. You can subdue violence that wraps dark minds and dark matters rather than heal a long time. You got the mitochondria and DNA of all them who dare to speak. It's your speech that was made to serenade the black sheep of this land where they come, then they conquer, then they delete. So I love when a black woman speaks.
Mm-hmm.
I love when a black woman can make a speech in her silence. I love when she dusts you off and she makes you rise again. But her sopranos and her baritones, it sounds like Mahalia Jackson in your headphones. You hear the rhythm syncopating in your eardrums and you realign yourself to the Most High. And Most High, but can't be she who twists her onomatopoeias to create King's English. See, if you do not hear it, you will surely feel it and or fear it. This black woman's speech is a fork and dragon's tongue hot. It is more to rock during summertime in Mississippi. It is waiting to exhale. It is Fannie Lou trying to tell them Southern Bells, nobody's free until everybody's free. Your dick should be just enough friction and lavender oil on baby skin. Say, wait in the water, children. Say, follow the drinking gourd. This is life, blood, and protection. This is prayer and resurrection every seventh day. This is 25-hour work days because we who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. So we go on and on. Yet this black woman's tongue is cumbersome. And some say this universe started with the word. Word. And then it occurred, those words of Audre Lorde, who said, when we speak, we are afraid our words will be unheard or not welcome. But when we are silent, we are still afraid. So speak, goddess, For God is speaking through you, I am sure. You spit shine until you are pure again. For you are mother to all kin and humankind. If they did not hear you the first time, then you were one. And when you only have words of prayer, when you only have words of prayer, when they try to make us lose our minds, remember, our blessings always come on time. And they always come on time, don't they?
Yes. Beyonce, somebody need to give Beyonce a call. We got somebody for her.
Man, that was time, Beyonce. Oh, so jealous of war time. Oh, this one.
Man, but I mean, there's so much amazing things, and that was so awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that, and like that is amazing. Thank you, Lenora. Thank you so much. How can people find you? Tell them where they can find you. What's your page and number, your Instagram, where can they get you?
Well, thank you for all the accolades. Oh, that's a good part. I'm on Instagram, Lenora Elaine, SoundCloud, Lenora Elaine. That's LenoraElaine _ on Instagram. And the same thing on SoundCloud. And then Twitter, Nori D. Free. But yeah, Orison Wellness, look out for us. We're coming out for you, Orison Wellness. My sister and I have begun the journey of entrepreneurship.
And they're based in Philly, but I'm sure.
No, we're not really based in Philly.
Well, Lenora's cool if you want to see her perform, but I do know you guys are looking to go to other places and do your workshops and things like that, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yes, that, but more so, just look out for it. You'll see.
Yeah, so follow her and that's Orin.
Orison Wellness. Instagram, Orison, O-R-I-S-O-U-N, O-R-I-S-U-N, Wellness, all one word, on Instagram.
And you can find me on Extending the Olive Branch, on Instagram and Facebook, and also iTunes, and just click subscribe, and so you can stay updated. Thank you for joining us for another episode. I really appreciate you guys coming to heal with us. Thank you.
My name is Lenora. Thank you for healing with me.